I have had a specific request to give you extra time to find the verse. I'll look for, is there readiness? Oh, I hear flipping pages. I'll be reading it nice and loud, though, so don't worry about it. Leah's going to join me, I think. No. All right, let's read from Mark 4, verses 21 to 34. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
All right, so yes, we are continuing on in Mark. We're going through this series, Rediscovering Jesus. A lot of us have given our lives to Jesus, right? He is our Savior, He is our Lord. We are trusting Him not only for salvation, but we're trusting Him for the rest of our lives as well, right, day to day. And we need to know who it is we're following, right? And so we're going through this series, kind of get a fresh perspective of who he really is, right? Going back to the original source, right? To the Gospel of Mark to see what does it have to say about Jesus. You know, we all have a picture of who he is and what he's like, but we want to make sure that we haven't missed anything. So again, the goal of this is rediscovering Jesus. And we've been going through Mark, looking at Jesus and looking at the things that we've been looking specifically, we've been kind of examining the things that he's been doing, kind of and some of the things he's been saying and teaching and seeing how he's interacting with people and kind of reading into that a little bit and how people are responding to him and whatnot. And from those things, we're pulling out some truth and some things that we can kind of extrapolate and understand about our Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is a little different. Today, Jesus does something different that he hasn't done before. Today, Jesus pulls back the curtain and lets us into his inner circle. He kind of lets us know what's really happening behind the scenes. All right, we've seen all the surface stuff, but today he lets us know the behind the scenes stuff. He pulls back the curtain, says, lets us in on, hey, you guys got to know, there's actually something pretty major going on here. All this healing and the preaching and all the stuff, the miracles and all that, there's something beneath all this. Something is happening. Something is up, and you guys got to know about it. He starts and says, it's like a lampstand or a lamp. You don't put a lamp under a bed, right? It's time to bring it out to the open. The thing that's been simmering, that's been underground, the thing that's been on the back burner that we haven't known, we're bringing it out, all right? He says, I'm here to disclose some truth. I'm bringing this out to the surface. I'm revealing about what's really going on here. And he's telling his disciples, check it out. Kingdom's coming. There's something going on here. Kingdom of God is at work. He starts talking about the kingdom of God. He teaches these parables about the kingdom of God, about what is happening. And so he goes into these two parables about the kingdom of God. First one was in verse 26, right? He's telling his disciples, verse 26, about the parable of the growing seed. And he says, verse 26, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come." So first he says that there's something going on here. The kingdom of God has come. And the kingdom of God, he says, is like a seed. All right, it's like a seed that's been planted. And it begins to grow all underground, unseen. It starts to do a work. It starts to grow, goes through the process of growth. Has nothing to do with the work of the farmer, all right? The person who planted it, it's got nothing to do with that. All outside of the work of the farmer is doing this work, entering in this process of growth. And like the kingdom of God is growing and doing a work, and a lot of it's underground, but at some point there's some visible progress that's going to be made. And as it continues, it's going to continue through this process until the end, there's going to be a harvest. It's going to grow to fruition. There's going to be a harvest, all right? So that's one of the things he tells about the kingdom of God. And then he goes in and talks about the parable of the mustard seed. Again, he said, verse 30, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the garden. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. So then he adds, he says, not just like a seed planted, but he says, kind of like the kingdom of God is kind of like a mustard seed. You guys know mustard seeds, the smallest seeds that we got, all right? The smallest little seed, we plant it in the ground, and yet it turns into the biggest garden bush there is, all right? It's not actually a tree, it's a bush, but it's tree-like, and then it's got branches, and it's big, and birds land on it. So it starts as something very small, but it's going to grow to something huge. It's going to change the face of the landscape, right? It's going to be something that's going to be here. And so much that birds come in and land on it, provides a home for the animal. It's like it changes everything. It's going to be a huge thing. It starts very small, but it's going to grow to something huge, all right? So he tells these two parables to fill us in, to invite us into his inner circle, fills us in about what's going on behind the scenes, all right? What's happening? What's going on with the kingdom, all right? So we can see from these parables, there's some characteristics of the kingdom we're going to see that's drawn out in these parables. And we're going to see that from these characteristics, it's going to be very important to you and me today, all right? It's going to affect understanding these truths about the kingdom. It's going to affect our choices, affect the way we view things, and affect the way we respond to things and how we interact with creation and with God, all right? So the first things we see, there's some fill-in-the-blanks. If you like to fill in blanks, you're going to be happy. We got some blanks to fill in. So open that bulletin and get your pencil out and prepare to get 100% right. All right. Characteristics of the kingdom of God. These are from these parables. First thing we see is that the first characteristic of the kingdom of God we see is that its growth is subtle. Its growth is subtle. Just like that seed that was planted. He says it talks about this process of growth, and it begins underground, unseen, very quiet, very hidden. And the kingdom of God is like that. It's very inconspicuous, all right? And if we're not careful, you may miss what's happening with the kingdom of God, that many miss that. And it's not, we think kingdom of God, and what they were expecting at the time, they were expecting kingdom of God was going to be announced with marching armies and battle fortresses and the spirit and fire and all these big amazing warriors. And it was going to be this big impressive show of all these things. They thought that was how the kingdom of God was going to be described, right? Instead, Jesus describes it with a lamp, a seed, a mustard bush, a garden plant, very basic things, right? Very, very simple things. So the kingdom of God, he said, that's not going to be this big thing. It's going to overwhelm you. No, it's going to be quiet. It's going to be very subtle. The growth, be careful, you may miss it. You may not even notice it. You may not see it. And it's funny how we see that today, right? How the working of the reign of God, it rarely makes the headlines, right? What God is up to, he says, but I'm working. Kingdom of God is working. There's something simmering underground. People miss it. We're going around living our lives. For the last, 2,000 years, people have been being born, living their lives, dying, getting married, having kids, just working their jobs, living their lives. And all this time, the kingdom of God has been doing its work. It's been growing on the ground, being settled. And so many people miss it. He said, but it's happening, all right? There's something simmering, and it's growing. There's growth that's happening. He said, that's how the kingdom of God works. Don't expect to be this big, see this big. It starts with a small thing, and the growth is often subtle. Yet, it is at work, which leads to the second characteristic. Its progress is inevitable. Its progress is inevitable. It may be quiet, it may be kind of subtle, but the growth is inevitable. He said, just like the seed that's been planted, he goes through these steps, right? It gets planted in the ground, and through time it grows and starts to bud, and it's doing its thing, and it's rooting out. And you guys used to plant those lima beans, right, in class, and you see it doing its thing under the soil, and you're like, wow, I never knew it did all that. So it's at work, and it's very subtle and quiet. But once that process has started, he describes that process not just as started, he describes it as it's pretty much finished, even though it hasn't happened yet. But those steps, he said, you know, it's just like a seed that's been planted. It buds, it roots, it comes, you know, starts to sprout out, and it does its thing in the grain and all that, and it goes all the way up to harvest. He takes it all the way through to the end. And in that growth, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he talks about it in the frame of mind that even though it's in the process of happening, it's already done, right? It's happening. He talks about with the end in mind. He's already talking about the harvest, right? It's inevitable, and nothing's going to stop it. It's not based on the work of the farmer, right? It's not dependent on us doing our... It's not like God saying, oh, I wish they would do their part so I could come harvest, you know, so get this thing going. No, he said, no, it's just happening. It's inevitable. It's at work, all right? The kingdom of God is growing. The growth is inevitable. And he talks with the end in mind, right? So that he uses this kind of already not yet kind of vocabulary when talking about the kingdom. He'll at one time say, repent for the kingdom of God is near, like if something is coming. But the other time he says, behold, the kingdom of God is here. Or like he cast out a demon of a guy and says, you've experienced, the kingdom of God has come upon you, he says. Things like that. So he uses this terminology. Sometimes he says, it's here. And other times he says, it's not yet here. Prepare because it's coming. And I think that's why it is, because it is coming. But since it started, it's already here. It's happening. It's inevitable. This thing is happening, okay? There's going to be a harvest. This is a process that's begun. It's going to end with a harvest. And there's nothing going to stop that train, all right? The train is rolling, all right? So the growth is subtle, but the progress is inevitable, all right? Then that leads us to the third characteristics is this. Its results are powerful. Results are powerful. It may start small, like that little mustard seed may start small, but the change it's going to bring is powerful. It's going to be amazing, right? That when it starts small and the work is maybe the subtle, the growth is subtle, a lot of people miss it. We don't necessarily see the kingdom of God at work a lot of times. But yet the result, everybody's going to see, all right? When it's time for harvest, that's something that everybody's going to see. It may start small, but it's going to grow to something that's going to change our world, right? Change our landscape, change every person on earth that's ever been born is going to be part of that harvest, all right, one side or the other. And that's going to be something that even though it starts small, the results are going to be powerful. It's going to change our entire creation. The little mustard seed, there's nothing in the DNA structure of that little mustard seed that would say why it transforms itself in such a way, all right? According to science, we can't really explain why that little thing has all that packed into it that can turn into such a big thing. Well, same way God's work, you know, it starts so small. You know, kingdom of God, can you imagine that it started, you know, here we are, it begins with an unknown, unwed teenager, gets pregnant, right, and ends up having a baby in some barn, in some little town, and then that child grows up, and is just a carpenter, and not some major leader in that front or anything, ends up getting arrested, and beaten up, and disgraced, and defeated, and crucified on a cross, you know. And then the message would carry forward, not through the religious leaders or the powerful people, but a bunch of fishermen and untrained types, you know, a bunch of sinners and whatnot. And the message would go out. Such a small beginning, yet it's going to grow to something that's going to affect the whole world. It's going to be a powerful result. Okay, so those are the characteristics. So what does that got to do with me? You're like, okay, this is all good, Tom, but what does that got to do with me? Here we get into the part where we recognize the difference it's going to make in our lives. And this is not in your fill in your blanks, but I'm going to give you fill in the blanks, all right? I got two important fill in the blanks that aren't on there, so I want you guys to write these in. If you write them in, but whatever it's going to take for you to get this stuff cemented in your brain, this is going to be advanced fill in the blank time, all right? Because they're not in there, but they're going to be up here, okay? So we're going to be talking about what is our response. See, here Jesus has done something amazing for his disciples and for us. He's filled us in on the behind the scenes about what's really happening, all right? It's kind of like insider trading. You guys know what that is? Insider trading? It's illegal, right? What's insider trading is when you buy stocks. When you buy stocks, if anybody knows the stock market, you buy little percentages of a company. And if the company does well, their stock goes up. So the idea, you want to buy a company that's on the way up, and that so the value goes up while you own the stock. Well, what's illegal is to have insider trading or have insider information. If you know somebody that works at the company that knows some information about why that stock will go up or down, and then you go buy a stock based on that insider information, well, they say that's not fair. You shouldn't have known that. For instance, if you know that some company is going to be coming out with some big announcement, if you knew before it came out, you would go buy the stock you know, or sell the stock, whatever, before that. And that's not fair because you got insider information. That's why it's illegal. It's not fair. It messes up the system. Well, here Jesus gives us some insider information. All right? He says, guys, come here. You guys got to know what's really going on. This kingdom of God, it's coming. You got to see it's coming. Now, careful. It's subtle. All right? It's subtle. The growth is going to be real subtle. And you know, it's going to be subtle. It's going to be, but the growth is going to be small, but it's going to be inevitable. All right? This process is starting. The thing is happening. And where it's going to get to, phew, you're not going to believe. All right? We're talking harvest, everybody. It's going to be big. Okay? You guys got to see this is happening. This is going on behind the scenes. So what does that do with us? Knowing that information now, how does that affect us? How do we respond to that? Two ways. This is what it has to do with us. First way that we respond, confidence in the work of God. Right? Confidence in the work of God. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes God seems kind of quiet, right? There may be times in our life we're going through stuff, and we may be looking around, and you could say, where's God, right? You may see, sometimes it may look like the wicked are winning, right? You may see people making poor choices, and it looks like they're succeeding. You're trying to do what's right, and you look and see others making obviously wrong choices, and they're succeeding, they're getting their way, and maybe you're like, where's God in this? Where's God? Is God really at work? We may forget sometimes that God is still the boss, that he's the one on the throne. It may feel like these other things are the boss in our lives. We may forget that he's the boss. We may feel like my boss at work's the boss. You know, the manager I work for is the boss. We may feel like the IRS is the boss. We may feel like the police is the boss. We may feel like that judge is the boss. We may feel like my parents are the boss. We may feel like my spouse is the boss. We may feel like all these things that are that we have to answer. We may feel like they're the boss. No, God is the boss. He's still on his throne. He's still in control. So just the fact that the growth is subtle, that's what it's supposed to be. That should be expected. He's telling us the growth is subtle. You may not see it, but it's happening. He's in control. This is working out just according to his plan. All right, so he's got a plan. He's working it out. And there's a lot more going on under the soil, below the surface, than what we see. All right? In the midst of that, we can be confident that he's in control. And it requires patience to see it, right? This is a long-term process that we're a part of. It requires patience. And that's something a lot of us aren't very good at, me included, right? One of my favorite things, I got this phone, and it does everything, right away. I don't have to wait for anything. If I want information on anything, I just, boop, you know, how to install a hot water heater. Boop, and it tells me how to install a hot water heater, right? I can get anything I want right away. But I felt like my patience since I got this phone has, like, the knob of my patience is like, down to nothing, right? Technology is great, but I think it does something. I think Satan uses technology to attack our patience level, right? It robs us of patience. Anyways. But it's understanding that, having that long-term perspective, that God is at work. He's still in control. And this is all going according to plan. He's got a plan. He's working it out. We've been going through Romans in our Bible study, and it's all about God and taking a step back and looking at God's plan working out through all creation. And I don't know about but the people have been coming, but for me, I know it's been inspiring to see God's hands is so active, because sometimes we could forget that day-to-day life sometimes. Okay, so the first one is absolute confidence that God is in control, that he is in control and he is at work. Second, so confidence in the work of God. Second, investment in the work of God. Investment in the work of God. Because we know that even though the growth is subtle, even though it starts small, but the growth is subtle, but it's inevitable, it's happening, it's something that's going on, he's in control, and the results are going to be big, it's going to affect all creation. Our response to that is investment in that very work, all right? Investment of who we are, all right? Investment of, you are a valuable creature. You are gifted in so many ways, right? And who you are as a person, in your personality, in your skill set, in your gifts, in your preferences, in your experiences, in your wisdom, and all these things that you've been through, you are a valuable tool for God. And investing in what God is doing, investing in the kingdom, is how we can respond. Jesus, before he goes into this, he says, okay, there's a lamp. I'm pulling the cover back off the lamp. I'm filling you guys in. And then before he talks about those parables, he inserts this little thing, which is kind of interesting. It kind of jumps off the page at you. In verse 24 and 25, let's see. He says, right before he goes into these two parables, he says, but consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more. So this is, I'm going to tell you guys about this stuff about the kingdom. But listen up. Be very careful. Listen carefully. to what you're about to hear. Because the measure you use, that's the measure I'll use with you too. God has invested in you. You are his workmanship. He created you perfectly suited for his plan for you. But he gives us each a choice. How are you going to use those giftings? How are you going to use those, all those things that God has blessed you with? How are you going to use those? Are you going to use those to build up your own kingdom? To advance your own name? To build a throne for yourself? Or are you ready to invest in the kingdom? Invest in understanding and our confidence that God is at work, investing in that same work. And Jesus says, consider carefully, because that measure you use, that's what I'll measure to you. To the degree that we're willing to invest in the kingdom of God, God says, I'll invest that in you. And notice, it says, the measure you use, then I will use with you, and then some. But a lot of us, we want to reverse that. We say, okay, well, God, the measure you use with me, and then some, then I'll invest back in you. Right? And he says, no, that's not how it works. We're sitting on our hands waiting for God to give us a little extra investment so that we can. And I'm not talking about money, only money. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about, again, our personalities, our giftings, who we are, our purpose in our life, our goals, our mission, all that. All right? But God says, whatever you invest in whatever, he says, listen carefully, because the measure you use, I'll use with you and then some. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you may hear that and say, that's great, Tom, but you know, I'd like to invest who I am into, you know, all this kingdom work, but hey, I got my own problems, man. I got bills to pay. I got a family to take care of and provide for. I got all these needs. I got responsibilities to handle. You know, after I take care of that stuff, you know, well, here's what I'll do. I'll take care of my business and anything that's left over, time, talents, all that stuff, treasure, whatever's left over, then I'll invest that in the kingdom. But God says, no. Here's how it works. He said, I know you need all that stuff, all right? I know you need clothes to wear and a roof over your head and food to eat. I know you got all those needs. He says, I know you got that stuff. But seek first me and my kingdom, and then all these things will be added to you. He says, if you'll just trust me, if you could just invest, just be about my kingdom, I'll make sure that you're taken care of. If, as long as you're willing to submit and be about my kingdom. I'm worried for us. I think the reason a lot of us don't experience the kingdom of God in our lives that much is because we don't measure out much. Right? We're using all our measures on ourselves, whatever we got on ourselves, and we say, why don't I feel God's presence in my life? Why don't I see the fruit of Spirit in my life? Why don't I see the kingdom principles come true in my life? Why am I not experiencing that? I think because we haven't been measuring out, right? We haven't been about kingdom things. But when we're ready to step out and be about kingdom things, because the kingdom of God is at work, right? We've already seen that. When we can be about those things, then we start to see that fruit start to develop in our lives, that fruitful life we talked about. What was that last Sunday, that fruitfulness that we see in our lives. That's when we start seeing those things come through. And we know there's going to come a time where we're all going to have to answer for what we're doing with God's investment with us. Right? In verse 25, it said, consider carefully, it says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That's not rough. Wow, yeah. And you may look at that and say, that's not true. Donald Trump's got a lot of money. He uses it on himself, and he just gets more money. Tom, what about Donald Trump? Right? Right? Donald Trump's story is not told yet, okay? It's not finished. One, it's none of our business. But two, there's going to come a time where all of us have to be held accountable for what we've done with what God has invested in us. Okay, Jesus, another part of Scripture tells this parable of the talents. It's called, all right, where it's about this it's a parable where this landowner, this master, returns to settle accounts with his workers. He entrusts them with funds, and then he goes away, and then he comes back to see how they did. And the ones who were fruitful, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share my master's happiness. And to the one who did not invest his talents, the one who was not wise with the talents, did not invest them, was not fruitful, that's what he said. You wicked and lazy servant. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Sound familiar? Same terminology. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay. We know the inevitability of the kingdom, the inevitability of the harvest. If we have our mindset is only on the here and now and only on this world, we're going to miss it. Okay? We have to have a broader mindset than that. We have to have a harvest mindset. This isn't, and if you're thinking investing as God is some get-rich-quick scheme, it's not. All right? But investing in the kingdom is a get-rich-for-eternity scheme. How about that? Is that bad? I don't know. Is that selfish? That's how he talks about it. Yeah, treasures in heaven. Anyways. And again, I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about who we are. It's about, money is part of it, right? Money's where the heart is and all that. We know that. Okay, so here's your final point. We've got to wrap up. Usually I put your main point at the beginning so we can be washing over that. Today we're ending with our main point. If you've been zoned out, if you've been sleeping, if you've been thinking of football scores, if your mind's been elsewhere, now's the time to bring it back in. You have a chance to catch up. This is the one thing. If you got one thing, if somebody misses church and comes and says, hey, what did Tom talk about on Sunday? This is what you're going to tell them, all right? This is your main take-home point. This is the main thing. If you got this, you're going to be good, all right? This is the main thing. I can give myself to the work of the kingdom of God because I am confident that God is at work. Okay? I can give myself to the kingdom of God because I'm confident that God is at work. It's our confidence in the work of God, that the kingdom of God is working, even though it's sometimes small, even if we don't necessarily see it, we can be confident that he is working, that he is in control, he is in charge, and he's working things out according to his perfect plan towards a harvest. Because of our confidence in that, we can give ourselves to that. We can give ourselves to that work. So the question I want to end with you is this. What are you going to give your life to? Right? There's lots of things that demand your life. There's lots of things in this world to give your life to. And everything's asking for your life. Right? Your job is asking you to give your life to it. Right? You have relationships in your life that are asking you to give your life to those relationships. It's just about those relationships. Your education can ask you to give your life to the pursuit of this education. All right? The pursuit of a pleasure. That asks you to give your life to it. It demands your life. The pursuit of pleasure demands your life. The chasing money above all else, that demands your life. All right? That addiction. That addiction demands your life, right? It's the boss of your life. Now, some of those things are bad, obviously bad things. Some of those are good things. Right? Not all those things are bad, yet they demand our life. So the question I want to ask for you is, what are you going to give your life to? It may be tempting to give your life to something that may seem more sure, something that may seem more safe. They may see the direct results. It may be tempting to do that, but I would say don't fall for that. Don't get sidetracked and fooled into giving your life to something of lesser value. It's because of our confidence that God is at work, that the kingdom is coming and is already here. Because of our confidence in that, that we can give our life to that same work. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it reveals what's really happening. God, I pray for each one of us today that you would give us eyes to see what's really happening today. That you would give us eyes to recognize how you're at work. You give us eyes to see what you're up to. You give us wisdom on what we see out of others and a perspective, an eternal perspective, as we're making choices in our own lives. God, I pray you would bring to mind any things that we've withheld from you, that we've invested in just in ourselves or our own selfishness. God, I pray that you would help us to be able to take those steps to invest fully in you and your work. And God, I'm amazed to see what you do on this street corner in our city and the difference you'll make. So God, we thank you so much. We look forward to your return. We look forward to the day of harvest, that you are the Lord of the harvest. And so God, we just praise you now as that Lord. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, hey, that closes out our service. We got to clear out of this room, but we can hang out next door in the fellowship hall. So if you got those conversations, I say hold on to them until you get over there. Remember, this week, be talking to people about filling up those boxes of love. So next Sunday, we'll be ready to collect those. All right? Not to collect the boxes, but the commitments. So next Sunday, give me those commitments. Offering, there's an offering box in the back if anybody wants to give. God bless you all and have a great week.